Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone's having a blessed day thus far. It is the latter half of the week. Speaking of blessings, here's one of mine, Jackie L.
That's so sweet. You know, just how to butter me up. Considering what you've done,
which I've done nothing.
No, you've done nothing. Like what you've done is technically standard procedure here at the Toast. Sometimes when one is traveling, we have to record the night before, which is not a big deal. We did it a few times last week. I just am broken this evening. I've been broken down. And when we were not sure if we were going to record at night or in the morning. I was, you know, just hoping it would be the morning, and then you said it would have to be tonight. And it just wasn't an ideal situation for me. Now, of course, you have to do what you have to do, and we have to do what we have to do. And I will give the show everything that I have.
Jackie, just know I'm suffering.
Oh, you are.
You want to know why?
I think I know, but I'm sure you want to let everyone know why.
No, you don't even know. This is like a new update in my life.
Oh.
I ordered room service. I got a sandwich. It came with chips. Now, I know you think that's like an acceptable substitute for French fries, but I'm just here to tell you it's not.
No, I'm here to tell you that it is. And we were kind of talking about my suffering.
No, but I just wanted to let you know you're not alone in your suffering. Like, I'm here with you too. I'm suffering too.
I kind of feel like you just monopolized on my suffering. I was taking a moment to complain about myself. You know, just I was feeling like sharing my unhappiness, and you kind of took that from me.
Well, I was more so just trying to relate to you on like a suffering level.
Yeah. I don't see chips as sufferance.
But you're so wrong about that, girl. Like, you're so wrong.
No, you're so wrong, especially for a sandwich. A sandwich is arguably better with chips.
Oh my God, that's such a lie. That's so not
true. No, it's not. No, it's not. Like, a fry is always good. I'll never turn one down. I would literally have fries with pasta. But for a sandwich,
no.
I'm team chip. Was it a kettle chip?
Let me show you. I didn't even eat
Was
one.
Was it a ridge?
It looks like, you know, homemade. I really...
It has a little bit of personality.
Yeah, and I don't really like chips, like, period, especially from a restaurant. From a bag, totally different. Like, love a chip for a snack. But a restaurant serving chips, it's like, come on, do more.
Well, I don't feel sorry for you for that. But I know you've had a long travel day. I know some things didn't go your way this evening.
I don't want to spoil it because I'm vlogging, but my flight here was crazy. I'm not going to spoil it, though.
Okay, great. I'm excited to watch your vlog. We're just kind of loving the adventures of Turdy Lou.
I know. And like, so far, the vlog has literally just been me. Margo hasn't landed here in Dallas yet. It's like 8 p.m. She doesn't land for a little bit. She flew after work. So it's kind of just been the adventures of like Turdy being lonely and like eating her way through the airport and Frisco.
The adventures of Turdy Lonely.
Turdy Lonely. Rebrand. Turdy Lonesome.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but usually your vlogs are mostly you. So we're used to that. Like even Nashville, we got a whole lot of Turdy.
No, I think they were like other people in the vlog. I think there were lots of other like supplemental characters. Of course, it's our Patreon. Like, who should be the star? Yeah, well, Abe?
Maybe, honestly, because of the prank call. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, really quick update from our show that aired on Wednesday. I did get in contact with one of my teachers. I totally forgot to tell you. She texted me.
The one you were hoping to get in contact with?
No, but a welcomed contact nonetheless. And it was so nice to be reconnected. So you know what? It's all good.
Also, someone did comment on one of our various media images from Wednesday's episode that they know Ms. Scheinbein, that she was her teacher in Israel, and she's got the hookup.
Oh my God, she can connect me with Ms. Scheinbein?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that comment or else I would have literally responded immediately.
Yeah, no, I was in the comments because yesterday's episode was just so funny. I just wanted to see if everyone was so chuckling funny. Along.
So honestly, I think some of our best work. And we just rolled into the office. No, like,
but it wasn't. I don't even know if it was our best work because sometimes our funniness is like really smart, funny, and just like
on point.
And I wouldn't say it was like on point. It was just ridiculous.
Unhinged. Yeah, no, I don't think it would be our most on point comedy ever. Like it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Like a state of the union.
It wasn't on point comedy. We were just having like a good time.
Sisterly, like unhingedness.
Sisterly nonsense.
Sisterly nonsense.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, you know, to go round two with Jackie O and Dirty.
You might get some sisterly nonsense because when we have the Sisters After Dark, it's always a different flavor.
Yeah, that's so true. Nighttime recordings
We are exhausted, sisters. I'm a very, I think, patient person. And I do think, like, my patience is running low tonight. Mm. So who knows what we'll get.
Was Roldy, Roldy acting out?
No, he was great. I don't know. I did cook dinner, so I was on my feet for a while. And I guess that wasn't the best idea, knowing I had to podcast. But I just, today drained me, Turdy. Oh,
Marlo, that's all you had to say. Listen, you're pregnant. Like, you're allowed to be tired. Like, yeah, give yourself some grace.
A lot of walking, the cooking. Like, I just, at 8 o'clock, I just kind of am, like, done for the day.
And then here comes Turdy. Hey, girl, we actually have to podcast tonight.
Yeah, but I'm all set up, and my complaining is done. I'm going to close the book on
complaining. Okay, so officially it's over? We can't complain anymore?
I'm not going to complain, but I'm still, like, feeling the way that I feel, so I just feel like Turdy's not going to get away with her typical turdiness.
By the way, that's how I felt yesterday. Remember, I told you I was, like, feeling down at the beginning of yesterday's episode, and not yesterday, sorry, Tuesday, and the toast has healing restorative properties, and by the end of it, I was feeling great. So maybe that'll happen to you. Maybe you'll get a second wind. Maybe you'll go for a run or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, no, maybe I'll be, like, well enough to read after this.
Oh, you know, I'm reading my book for book club. The one that Margo says is, like, literally, I love this book so much. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I love this book, la, la, la. And me and Margo are, like,
You know it.
You know which one I'm talking. I don't even have to say the title, right?
It's Things in Which We Left in the Mailbox.
It's called Things We Leave Unfinished, and there is a mailbox on the cover. And so my book club chose it for their book club because Margo's saying such high praises, and me and Margo have really similar taste in books. And she was like, you have to read it. And I can't wait till she gets here because I have to tell her how I'm fucking hating this book. Like, with my entire soul. Like, it was making me angry on the plane that I had to read this book. I don't know how I'm gonna break it to counts. I think she's gonna be so devastated. And I'm 40% in. It's not nothing. Like, oh my God, it's just insufferably slow.
Well, definitely vlog you telling her.
Oh, good idea.
Do like a hidden camera.
You're on candid camera.
We can get to see the real counts.
Oh my God, watch, she like slaps me.
I feel like people don't know the real counts. Do you feel like they know her?
That's actually a really good question. Like,
and I don't think it's because she like obfuscates and puts out a version of herself that she's not, but I just feel like it's so hard to peel away the layers and get to know the real counts that it's actually impossible for people who haven't known her for 26 years to be able to.
I also think she's extremely dynamic. Like, I don't even know if I could pinpoint who the real Satch is, you know? Like,
we even know the real counts?
I don't know. I don't, like, there's so many different versions of her, and she's still very young. She's coming into her own. Maybe she doesn't even know the real counts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, a couple different versions of her and that we know them all, but, like, I wonder which one is the real her.
It's like Kylie, you know? I feel like Kylie went through a period like that when they were filming Kardashians. It was just, who is Kylie Jenner?
Maybe when you're vlogging, you could ask Margo. Be like, by the way, I just have a question for you. Who's the real counts?
No, yeah, she worked a 9-to-5, got on a 4-hour flight, and then is going to come to the hotel and be like, shut the fuck up, you annoying, ugly bitch.
Sit her down like it's a confessional on Love is Blind, like on the bed.
Yeah.
And say, people want to know, who's the real Counts? Like, is she really that sweet little sis who just warms the heart? Or is she like that big, scary, cool girl?
Fiery.
Who we're scared of.
Fiery.
Who we're scared of.
Who we're scared of.
Yeah.
Who, which sister would you say you're most afraid of?
You.
I would say you too. I think that's good. Maybe it's because we work together, so there's like an added level.
No, I mean, yes, sure, whatever. Like, but no, it's you for sure.
Why? You know what? Maybe I don't want to know. Like, am I going to be hurt by your response?
No. No, I don't think you would be hurt, but I don't know if I could put it to words.
When we were growing up, we were all afraid of Olivia, but like, as we should have been, she was like the scary older one and she held all the power because she was always in charge.
But I also feel like we're all weirdly scared of Margot now.
Yeah, because we just want her to love and accept us.
Yeah. But I actually feel like we are all in some way scared of Olivia. We're all in some way scared of you.
Okay. I think you guys. I feel like the intonation on all like was a little unnecessary, fucking bitch.
I think we're all scared of Turdy.
Yeah.
I think you guys would say like you're all scared of me.
All the time, yeah.
And we are all scared of Margot.
I think that's good because fear really does equal respect.
No, yeah, you need a healthy combo of fear and love. It's all about striking the right balance, which I think that we've struck.
Yeah, also, I feel like I was having this conversation with my, like, high school friends recently, how, like, we all grew up, like, afraid of our parents and how, like, we're actually grateful for that now. And it sounds crazy, like, you're afraid of your parents. No, but there was, like, a level of authority and fear, like, the same way you never want to be sent to the principal's office. Like, that's a good thing. It keeps you in check.
It needs to mean something.
Right, like, that level of authority.
Yeah.
Just a conversation I was having with my friends that I decided to share.
Yeah, no, I don't think that is a hot take. Like, I think that that is good parenting to have both fear, instill fear and love in your children.
Right, right, right. Because fear really does.
At least in my experience.
Most of the time, like, equal respect eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't have all fear.
No,
you also can't, you can't have love without fear either. Otherwise, you're just to walk all over you.
Do you think, are you ever afraid of your husband? I sometimes am. Not your husband, mine.
I'm trying, like, I don't.
Because, like.
I guess, but, like, more so in the way of, like, my imagination. Like, not anything that has actually happened, but, like, what I think could happen.
See, mine is, like, because Ben, you know, I get away with a lot with Ben. Like, I'm always, like, being annoying, whatever.
You're worried he's going to snap.
No. Sometimes he does. Like, sometimes I take shit too far, and then I get really afraid because it's like, it took this man a lot to get to this point. Like, I've officially taken it too far, and then I'm afraid of him because, like, he has all the power, you know?
Yeah. But is it because he does something that made you afraid, or?
No. Just because, like, I guess, yeah, it's like imagination.
It's imagination. Like, is this man about to fucking snap?
No, but, like, and I'm sure our husbands would have the same answer. Like, are they afraid of us? Absolutely. Like, they should be.
Absolutely, they're afraid of us. They absolutely should be. But I actually don't think, like, you should be afraid of your husband.
No, me neither. Because, like,
gender roles are real. But I do think husbands should be afraid of their wives.
Gender roles are real. And, like, that's why I'm personally not for, like, gender equality. Because I would like my husband to be afraid of me. And I don't want to be afraid of my husband.
100%.
And that's just pretty 100%. Much my thesis on gender studies.
And I think you've nailed the course, Turdy Lou.
Do you think they'd ever let me teach a class on gender studies in any sort of accredited university? Maybe clown college, but.
I feel like clowns are actually genderless.
That's like an amazing point.
They all wear the same kind of wig. They all wear the same makeup.
And they wear the same outfits. They're like these silhouetteless jumpsuits.
Yeah. It's not like the girl clowns wear a dress and the boy clowns wear a pant.
No, because you're 100% right. Clowns are genderless.
You couldn't teach there either.
I couldn't teach at clown college. Clowns are genderless. Like, this is a crazy revelation for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, you learn something new every day.
When you listen to the toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we should dive in, correct? Because we have 5 stories.
We do have 5 stories. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5, right?
Yeah, it's 1 less than 6, but 1 more than 4.
1 less than 6. Oh, so 5.
Oh yeah, my God. You could say 5 if, like, you really wanted to, if you needed to put a number to it.
Right, like, if we're putting labels on things, like, it would be 5.
If we're putting labels on things, it would be the Fast Five.
Oh, now they're fast. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they actually are pretty fast.
They're not like crazy substantial?
No, but I think they're going to be a lot of fun.
I like it a lot.
You didn't give me enough time between yesterday's show and today's show.
I know.
For more stories to happen. Hopefully,
like, nothing crazy happens tonight that, like, by the time our episode, like, would have come out tomorrow. Like, we could have done, like, an hour-long episode. Like, Kim Kardashian gets secretly eloped or something, you know?
You know what? That never happens. Yeah. It doesn't. The only thing we're missing out on is not being able to recap Vanderpump Rules.
Sorry, guys. I take this one on the chin. Like, I'm just booked and busy, and I'm so grateful to be so booked and busy, and I'm sorry.
Next week is the finale, so we'll have our recap then.
And oh, wow.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Also, so random, I saw Lala did, like, another episode of her podcast, you know, Bombshells. Mm-hmm. But one of the bombshells that she spoke that came out was that they actually have edited the final episodes of this season, unlike Andy said.
Yeah, what I heard when I said that last week was that Andy maintained that they hadn't edited the next episode of Vanderpump Rules, like, right after Scandoval broke, but they edited the season. So,
okay,
that would make sense. Yeah,
that would
whatever.
Make sense. Whatever. Semantics.
So now, without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And I'm jazzed because today's lead sponsor, Skims. I'm wearing Skims right now. Jackie,
I too am wearing Skims right now.
So
from
Skims,
the Fits Everybody collection, the bralette.
Same. Me too. So Skims is the solution-oriented brand creating the next generation of underwear, loungewear, and shapewear for everybody. So we've been wearing Skims for many years because Jackie and I are breast experts. We're brexperts. We're looking for bras, all different types of bras. Personally, right now, I'm wearing what Ben likes to call my relaxation bra, but I need, you know, T-shirt bras, I need everyday bras, and I have to say the Fits Everybody collection of underwear, form-fitting essentials, all of it is so fabulous. They're really size inclusive. They go from extra, extra small to 4X. They're offered in 9 core colorways and limited edition seasonal colors. I have so many of the relaxation bras that I like are the Racerback Bralette. That's what I'm wearing right now. I also love the T-shirt bra. Like, I have boob problems. I know, Jackie, like, all different phases of your boobs over the last 2 years, like, you've turned to Skims for help. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. Right now, I'm in my size large fits everybody bralette era because it's like my comfort bra, but also like my bra when I'm wearing a sweatshirt and I don't want to be wearing something with a clasp. But their bralettes are the best strapless bras, period. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a bra for every breast.
Believe the hype. This collection has over 90,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Skims Fits Everybody and more best-selling essentials are available now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. That is all at Skims, SKIMS.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Better Sleep. We all want to feel ready to conquer our day when we wake up, but when you've got a lot in your mind, it's tough to get the rest that you need. With the Better Sleep app, you can personalize a sleep experience that calms your racing thoughts and boosts concentration. Business Insider says that Better Sleep is one of the most positively reviewed apps in the history of the App Store. So it is basically your toolkit for improved rest. They have over 200 soothing sounds and a range of smart features to help you sleep faster, deeper, and for longer. You guys know, I feel like many years ago, I was like very anti like sleep sounds and sleep stories, but I'm a believer now. The Better Sleep app has so many different ones. It's very personal. People like different things, different accents, different stories. You can explore audio tracks from categories like ASMR, which I love listening to ASMR before bed. They have brainwaves, meditation, stories, and more. It's an award-winning app that works. It's one of the most positively reviewed apps in the App Store, and it's backed by sleep experts, and it's backed by science. High-quality rest is vital to mental well-being and physical health. Better Sleep collaborated with the world-renowned sleep specialists at Oxford University, and they are helping you achieve your best sleep. When you sleep better, you feel better. Improve your quality of life in as little as 1 week. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play. That's Better Sleep, BetterSleep, on the App Store or Google Play.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome, Jackie.
Our first story, some baby name news, long awaited. The name of Rihanna and A$AP Rocky's baby boy has finally been revealed. Are you ready? Have you heard it yet?
I did.
Rihanna and A$AP Rocky have reportedly named their baby boy RZA Athelstan Mayers, according to Daily Mail. Their son is seemingly named after the producer and rapper RZA, the leader of the Wu-Tang Clan. So I'm not sure if it's pronounced RZA or RZA, but they're all capital letters, so I'm inclined to say RZA.
Oh, really? I'm inclined to say RZA, like SZA. SZA is SZA. That was like my initial association, but I'm not entirely sure. This is giving Elon Musk.
No, I feel like it would be so me to say like RZA and then people be like, Jackie, it's RZA, you know?
No, of course. That's like Elon Musk. Like we were like trying to pronounce it.
Yeah. No, a little different, but I do feel like, I don't know. It's like very Maj Dijon. Like I'm overthinking it.
I also feel like we will eventually learn like what they're calling the baby. Similar to how we found out like they were calling Elon Musk's baby X, you know?
Yeah. Baby X.
Or Angel. Remember they were calling him Angel too?
Yeah. No, they call him Baby X.
Right. So maybe Baby Riz. That's like actually really cute.
Yeah. Really cute. I wonder why now they've released the name.
It's just so interesting, this new trend of like celebrities not telling us their baby names like for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was just a Kardashian thing, but no.
Yeah. I mean, take all the time you need. It's hard to name people.
It's hard to name people. Like, maybe they're not telling us because they're having a hard time choosing.
Yeah.
It's also just so interesting how, like, the genesis of, like, celebrity baby announcements. I feel like the one I remember, like, from growing up was when everybody wanted to know Angelina and Brad Pitt's baby's name. And they, like, were on the cover of People. And it was, like, Shiloh. And it was, like, the biggest deal, People magazine cover. And now they do it in, like, Instagram and, like, Instagram stories. It's just so interesting how that's, like, evolved.
Yeah, I feel like a celebrity baby name that always sticks out to me is Apple Martin.
Of course.
Like, she broke the fucking internet with that.
Yeah.
She broke the printing press.
Yeah, it was before the internet. Like, I remember literally where – that's actually such a good call because I literally remember where I was when someone was like, Apple. And I was like, what? I was like, six. I'm like, that's not a name.
That's not a name.
No, that's literally what I said.
No, but it's actually a really cute name. It's also kind of crazy how her kids are named Apple and Moses.
Very biblical.
Because Moses is very traditional and Apple is very new.
Yeah, but both Moses and the Apple were in. Maybe she's just like an Old Testament girl. She does have like a Jewish lineage, Gwyneth.
You think the Apple was an ode to the Garden of Eden?
I mean, Eden would have been more obvious, Eden and Moses, but yeah, it still could be.
Eve.
Maybe their next baby would have been like Snake.
No. No.
Yeah, I guess I never realized like those two names are like so polar opposite.
Yeah. Get you a girl who can do both.
But then it's just weird how like celebrities release baby names and it's like so crazy to us. And then over time they just become names. Like North is a name.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is, but you just get used to it.
Right. And then like if somebody else like in my life was like, oh, my baby's name is like Sam. I'm like, oh, so cute. Like it's a name now.
Oh, so cute.
No, I mean, I guess like if somebody I knew like named their baby Sam, I'd be like, okay, that's like weird. But okay, go off.
Even it was just Sam's birthday and they were singing happy birthday to him. And in the video, like people didn't know what to call him. Like because I think they also call him like Sam. And like Sammy or I think it's like Sammy. And when it was like happy birthday, dear, everyone kind of like flustered it. It was like a restaurant where we don't know the person's name.
Yeah, it was giving like Cold Stone Creamery energy. That's a good call. But also, I also think everybody pronounces Psalm differently. Like you kind of say the L. I just heard it. Psalm.
Psalm.
But like, I think it's Psalm.
Yeah, I don't say Psalm. I don't say that word in a lot in my life. So right, I kind of just go phonetically. But I am a phonetic girl.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'm hooked on phonetics.
It's not a word we use. It's a Catholic word, correct?
No, it's a
Christian
word.
I'm sorry. And is it – what does it mean? It means like chapter and verse, right?
Yeah, it's like a pasuk.
Pasuk, yeah. Okay, I was thinking what like the Old Testament translation.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. So I don't find myself saying it, but I do feel like everybody says it differently, which makes it hard to like have it as your name.
Yeah.
What do you think is Kim's best name? Or actually, what do you think is the Kardashians' best name for the grandkids?
Okay, so we have North Saint Chicago Psalm, Mason, Penelope, and Rain. Stormaloo. Air.
True.
Truesdale.
Don't forget about Dream.
And Tristan. I mean, what's his Topper? Name?
Topper? What did they name him? Topher.
No, they didn't. Tristan. No, that's the father.
What? We just reported on it this week, what they named.
Yeah, it's...
It's Topher. Topper?
Tatum.
I got stuck Tatum. In OBX land.
You know what? Maybe Rain.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like it also depends on the nicknames. Because if we're going by nicknames, I think Shy is so cute.
Mm-hmm.
But just names, I actually love the name Penelope.
Yeah.
So I guess we would say Courtney did, in our opinion, the most favorable.
And also, Mason is such a popular name now. And when she named him Mason, it was like a pretty new, not popular name.
No, you're
so
right.
So she's kind of ahead of her time.
It's also so crazy, like, when you think about the times. Like, there was such a long period of time in the Kardashians where Kourtney was the only one who was a mom.
Yeah.
Because I think she got pregnant on accident. But it was just like...
Did she?
Like, she did not expect to be pregnant. They were not trying.
Oh, I don't remember.
Like, I think, remember they found out, like, Kourtney and Khloé take Miami or whatever?
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that they weren't trying, that they, like...
Oh, I guess. That doesn't mean, yeah.
Because it's not like she wanted to be married or anything, so...
Right. Hmm.
Yeah.
What was the story?
Rihanna and A$AP Rocky.
Oh, RZA. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait till, like, she drops it in, like, an interview or a podcast or something in terms of pronunciation. Yeah.
She should do a podcast.
We would love to have her.
Yeah, we would, but she really should do any podcast. Like, Armchair Expert.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan.
It's so many years since, like, she's really been very public, and so much has happened in her life.
Yeah, I don't, like, and she hasn't been very public, like, since podcasting has been what it is. Like,
so
we
true.
We need a 3-hour Rihanna interview.
So true. Oh, also, I don't know if you've seen footage. Beyonce kicked off her Renaissance tour.
I saw one video. She looked unreal.
The outfits are the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I've only seen one outfit.
Rainbow?
And it was gorgeous. What?
Rainbow?
Like
multicolored?
Multicolored, yeah.
Long sleeves, like mini dress?
Yes.
Same. Actually, I saw a few jumpsuits. It looks like a production. Like, it looks major.
That's sick. I'm excited for everyone who's going.
And everyone is, like, you know, gooped and gagged because in her pre-show playlist, like, while people filled in the stadiums, there was Taylor Swift. So everyone was like, what does it mean?
Means nothing. It means it's a good fucking song and it's going to bring the right energy to the stadium.
Right. And she's, like, a really popular artist. And what do you play at, like, stadiums? You play popular music.
Right. Glad that we sorted that one out. Are you ready for our next story?
I really, truly am.
Andy Cohen regrets not having Meghan Markle as a Watch What Happens Live guest.
Oh my God, totally.
So Andy revealed he regrets not having Meghan to Watch What Happens Live during her time on Suits and before she married Prince Harry.
Right, she was perfect for it.
Perfect. In his recently released book, Daddy Diaries, he explained that Meghan had pitched herself as a fan of The Real Housewives of Orange County, but he had nixed her as a guest. He said, looking back at the offer, he made a huge mistake. He explained in his book that the reason he passed on her offer was that he always thought that Suits looked like some simulation of a TV show to him, like it was shot on tape and broadcast in a vacuum.
Agreed. I just want to say that is, like, a stunning analysis, like, of how a lot of people who don't watch Suits and never did, like, perceived the show. Because it was on, like, USA, which is, like, a fake-ass fucking network. And, like, it weirdly had this cult following, but there was, like, nobody famous in it that's actually... So gorgeous. And I didn't realize Andy's book was out. I'm, like, a little annoyed that, like, these excerpts are coming out because I'm going to read them. But stories like this make me want to read the book. This is the type of shit that, like, is perfect for a celebrity memoir. Andy does memoirs really well.
Yeah. So he said that he managed to make amends with Meghan when he was one of 3 male guests on her podcast, Archetype. So I guess all's good there. But obviously, like, she's not going to the clubhouse now.
No,
when
of course
back
not.
In the day, she would have. And I'm sure... You know, he would have, between the games and the questions that they asked, there would have been some funny sound bites that came from it that we could all look back on now.
She's probably immensely grateful that she was turned down, and she would literally, like, I don't think there's actually a worse platform that she could go on because like she's very tight-lipped. There's like a lot going on with her family and stuff. And like Andy is just out of control, and the user and the people come on, you know, the Zoom, like ask questions directly to, like, it's chaos. Somebody who has like so much scandal, like, and just like chatter and gossip around them is not the right person for Watch Robins Live.
No, but I think that if she did it, like, there would be certain things that Andy would not ask about, but in exchange for her giving like a little tea, and maybe if she is a fan of some Housewives, like, they would really just focus on like her on Housewives. Honestly, I think it would be really good for her to do something like that and to do interviews that are like less stiff than some of the stuff that she typically gives us.
That's actually a really good point. It would be definitely like a one-on-one, very similar to how like Jennifer Lawrence, it was like this big special and they just basically brought out Jax and like all these Vanderpump Rules people to like talk to her.
Right.
It wasn't even so much an interview, but more like a super fan 30-minute thing for Jennifer Lawrence.
And I feel like he could easily do that with her.
Yeah, it's actually like a really good call.
So I don't think it's out of the question.
I wonder if they have any sort of, actually they probably have like a decent relationship, because now that I think about it, I didn't know that Andy was one of the few guests on her podcast, but there was like not a lot of, she doesn't like a lot of celebrity friends that like we see her out and about with. So she tapped Andy to come on her podcast. Like they obviously have a good relationship. That's like, now that I didn't know that, that's like kind of crazy. There was like Serena Williams, Mariah Carey, Paris Hilton on the podcast and like Andy.
Yeah, but I mean, you remember like the highlight guests, but I think there were some random guests. Mm. And that was, he was on with three people. It was him, Trevor Noah, and Judd Apatow.
Oh, wow.
She had Candace Bushnell on. She had Eliza Schlesinger.
Had Candace Bushnell?
Yeah, she had Eliza Schlesinger with Paris Hilton.
Oh my God, I missed like all of this.
She had Jenny Slate, Constance Wu.
Interesting. So
they're not all Serena Williams.
No, that's a good point. Thank you. I only know about her podcast, like from what was pulled in the Daily Mail and Page Six. And I never like went to go listen. So I didn't know that there was like such a big slate of celebs, like a panel of three guests.
Yeah, it's like 2 to 3 guests per episode.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But, and so, really cool that he was on it, but he's exactly like who should be on it. He's an top of his game guy.
Oh, this actually makes me really excited for Andy's book. Once I get through this like dense ass book I'm currently reading, it is next on my list.
Great. Let us know what we need to know.
I will let you know what you need to know.
You need to know our next story.
And you need to know that it's brought to you by Canva. Creating visual content is an essential part of what we do here at The Toast. But the creative process hasn't always been this easy. If you scroll onto our Instagram and see some of the things we used to like pass as graphics, you would be ashamed and mortified. But not in a while since we discovered Canva. Ben actually turned me on to Canva. He used to use it at one of his old jobs. Ever since we found Canva for Teams, it has been easy to collaborate and design with our team, which makes the whole process so much more fun and creative. So Canva for Teams is a design platform that makes it easy for anyone to create stunning content in any format. From social media posts, videos, presentations, websites. A lot of people use Canva like at their corporate jobs for presentations. We use it a lot for social media content just to make like professional looking graphics. The endless templates and premium fonts, photos, graphics, and videos add a personality and edge to our content. Canva for Teams streamlines how we use social media. We can plan, create, share social media content all directly to our channels from one place and schedule posts ahead of time, which is such a great feature. It's just weekend, gotta go, can't be bogged down by my Instagram flow. They enable you to take your presentations
to the... That was a rhyme.
They enable you to take your presentations
to the next... You should put that on a Canva Pro graphic. Literally. Weekends, gotta go, can't be bogged down by my Instagram flow.
Obsessed. Canva, free idea. They enable you to take your presentations to the next level. Plus, their remote control feature means you can virtually connect and navigate slides from any device. Collaborate with Canva for Teams. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you go to canva.me/toast. That's canva.me/toast for a free 45-day extended trial. canva.me/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Real Real, the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. We finally made it to summer for all the events, beach weekends, weddings, and everything in between. Our go-to shopping destination is always therealreal.com. Jax and I are proud Real Real customers for many years. We're also proud consigners because, you know, you want to invest in things, you got to make room in your closet. You know, it's a cycle, and that's how we keep the environment sustainable.
It's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's the circle of life.
You'll find everything from Gucci, Prada, Hermes, Ghani, Staud, so much more. They're all up to 90% off retail. With 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day, you are bound to find exactly what you are looking for on TheRealReal.com. I have gotten some gems. I've gotten some really good, like, everyday pieces that I would never, like, spend the retail price on. And then, of course, there are, like, some nice things that I've, like, spent more money on that I've waited a long time to get and finally found on The RealReal. It's more sustainable, it's more affordable, and it's The RealReal is just like really trustworthy. And if you want to consign, they have a full service experience from free virtual appointments and at-home pickups to direct shipping and drop-off services. One of the easiest ways to shop or consign is through The RealReal app, so download it now. Plus, visit TheRealReal.com, use code TOAST at checkout for 20% off. That's a lot. That's TheRealReal.com, code TOAST for 20% off. Terms apply. That's code TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
For all the links and all the codes I will save.
Jackie, I can tell you're feeling much better. Are you?
No, sometimes when I'm delirious,
oh, yeah.
Like I sing and I also like LARP out. Like sometimes when I'm falling asleep, like I have to talk to Bruno and like as I'm falling asleep.
Just you two?
Usually Zach is there. He's not a part of it and it's like
of
annoying.
Course for
him.
Not.
He finds it very annoying, but I'll be like, Justin, Krasin, Lassen, Massen would never, like I just have to keep going.
You also have to get that out of your system before you can actually sleep peacefully.
You have to get that toxicity out of your system.
No, it'll just bug you. It'll keep you up. You'll be up like thinking, why can't I sleep? And it's because I haven't LARPed. Rassen, Strassen, Massen, Krasin, Dassen, Lassen, Vassen.
Strassen would never tell a lie sand.
He would never tell a lie sand, and that's the damn truth.
And if he did, I would cry sand.
Oh my god. I would throw myself into the sky sand.
Isn't it fun?
Makes me want to eat a French fry sand.
Some oh people count sheep, other people LARP.
I think just you, but it's good.
I think I just turned you on to something.
100%. Ben will never forgive you. Wait, do you want to hear the craziest thing I meant to tell you?
Sure.
I went through TSA on my way to Dallas, and they, like, were so suspicious of my microphone. They were wiping it down and, like, putting it in these machines. Like, we need to test. We need to test for explosives. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me, right? Literally, it was – I got, like, pulled over. Thank God I was early.
It's because this show is the bomb.
Oh. Literally. I was like, ma'am, the only thing I'm guilty of is making sick podcast content on that thing. So, like, stop. She did not think I was funny. Yeah.
No, and, she like, could tell.
And I was like, she was like, what is this? I'm like, my travel mic, like, is really weird looking. So I'm like, it's a podcast microphone. I have a podcast. And then I was going to be like, maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Toast. But she was like,
she'd
not.
Be like, she no, ma'am.
She didn't want to LARP, like, at all. She was serious about her job, which I respect. You know, security is important. But, like, come on.
I respect them taking it seriously, but they could have just, like, Googled the brand name on your microphone and went on with their day.
No, it's just, like, it's a microphone. I always feel bad when I see moms in security who are traveling with their breast milk. Mm-hmm. Because they're always fucking with people's breast milk. Like, they're, like, testing it and shit, and it's like, stop fucking touching that.
No, like, get your dirty fucking mitts out of there.
No, literally. Like, I've seen it a few times, and the moms get so upset. It's like, don't fucking start with me. Do you know, like, this is gold to me. And they're, like, opening it up. Like, don't get your dirty germs in there.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're really doing a great job.
Isn't it crazy to think about that TSA is, like, a post-9/11 agency? Like, before 9/11, like, did you just waltz onto planes? I don't remember.
I guess so.
Or just
that's
like walk through a metal detector?
We were alive, but we were young.
Did you walk through like a metal detector? Like what was life like pre-9/11?
I don't know.
And that's why when you watch like old rom-coms, people just like run through the airport. Like that actually was possible back in the day.
I don't know. It doesn't seem likely. You still need a ticket.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are reflecting on Freaky Friday 20 years later and giving an update about a sequel. So the two co-stars reunited for an interview with the New York Times in honor of the movie's 20-year anniversary.
That's nice.
It is nice. They gave some really sweet...
28?
20.
Oh, okay. I was like, there's no way I'm the same age as that movie.
No. It came out in 2003, directed by Mark Waters and also starring Mark Harmon, Chad Michael Murray, Harold Gould, and more. It saw mother and daughter Tess and Anna switch bodies and literally walk in each other's shoes. So Lindsay recalls, as an 11-year-old, The Parent Traps felt so big to me. I threw myself into everything, accents, green screens, playing two people. Mm-hmm. So I felt comfortable after that. Freaky Friday felt different because I was going through all of the phases of a 16-year-old, but playing a character who was a year younger. She said this was the era of Avril Lavigne and punk, and I wanted to experience it. We did white stripes in my hair. I put the colorist Tracy Cunningham through hell because I took my nice red hair and just bleached it. Jamie Lee Curtis recalled signing on to the role days before she got to set after another actress dropped out.
Who?
We need to know. I don't
know. I'm going to Google it. Hold on.
She said, had I had all the time in the world to prepare, I don't think it would have been so good. I just had to be in my body. I was also newly sober, and I was able to have a community within the movie work world. That was a big deal for me.
Annette Bening. I have to Google
that
who that is.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Oh, you know this bitch. Like, I can't tell you what she's from, but like, she's a classic. She's from American Beauty, Death on the Nile.
Yeah, she would have been good too.
I'm sorry. No, nobody could have done it the way Jamie Lee did. It was perfection. And honestly, her having like that pixie cut was perfect.
But so does Annette.
Oh, good call. Fabulous call.
No, it's just like how Rachel McAdams also could have done Devil Wears Prada.
But she couldn't have.
No, but she literally could have, and it would have been really great.
I know that's like not the point of the article, but I am hyper fixating on the fact that like we almost didn't get Jamie Lee Curtis in Freaky Friday.
Yeah, so they also shared some of their fun memories, and I guess they've like stayed pretty close over the years. And they're both down for a sequel. They've been open about wanting to do a sequel, and nothing's happened yet, but they've been teasing that it's going to happen.
You know, knowing what we know about Jamie Lee Curtis from her recent stint on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, it doesn't shock me that she's like stayed in contact and probably like looked after Lindsay Lohan a little bit over the years, because she really seems like such a nice lady.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not surprising.
Like, just a queen who like looks out for her fellow woman, especially like a young woman in the industry. She was a young woman in the industry. You know, she started out very young. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, I never thought I'd say that, especially because she has a pixie cut, which is a haircut I'm, like, totally against.
Yeah. I know. That's really big of you.
I'm growing up, Jackie, right in front of your eyes.
Love is blind.
Next thing you know, I'm going to have a pixie cut.
You know, I was listening to new Kelly Clarkson, so fucking good. And, like, she says in her song how love is blind, and she says it, like, in a negative way.
Meaning?
Like, love is blind. She loved him so much, like, she couldn't see him for who he really was. And it just got me thinking about this show, because they came up with, like, a whole, like, concept for a show based on this idea, like, love is blind. But maybe at the end of the day, like, love is blind is, like, love being blind is not a good thing.
Like, you,
love
like
blinds you.
There's different interpretations of it. And, yes, like, they're talking about, like, physical appearance, being blind to physical appearance. But what Kelly's talking about is actually, I think, more a more profound, deep interpretation of the phrase. Like how you 100%. Can become blinded to a person's faults and how they make you feel just because you just love them so much. Blinded by love.
Yeah. So, like, inadvertently, Kelly just, like, took down that show. Like, they thought they were doing something over there, proving that love is blind as if that's some good thing. But they're just being clowns. Gender-fluid clowns.
Her power knows no bounds. Like, the way she's just kind of taken down an entire franchise, and she didn't even try. That wasn't even what she set out to do, just like one of the many collaterals.
And all she said was, love is blind. She just sang the title of the show, and it just made me see it differently.
Oh, she didn't like explain herself?
No, she's like trashing him, and in the middle of trashing him, love is blind. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
Jackie's version.
So unkind. So good.
That is very interesting. I just want to say, like, on the record, while I loved Freaky Friday with all of my heart, and I was definitely very influenced by it as a young girl, I truly don't need a sequel. Like, I'm good. Unless Lindsay Lohan is going to put that shit back in her hair and go to the House of Blues and sing, you're it, you're the ultimate.
No, but that would just make me sad.
Then I don't want it.
Yeah. No, unless it's going to be, like, just a great movie that happens to be a sequel. Like, if it's about, like, Lindsay Lohan's daughter and they make the movie again and it's just, like, so with the times, good production, like if it is what for these kids what it was for us.
So it's Lindsay Lohan's daughter, obviously Jamie Lee Curtis is the grandma, but then who swaps bodies?
Lindsay and her daughter, and Jamie Lee tries to like usher them through. She is also like a counselor, right?
Like that's her job.
Yeah, she's
like was a an author. Yeah, like an author, but she had just written a book. But yeah, I think she was like a psychotherapist, Senescence.
Right. So she should be able to shepherd those two through it.
That's actually a good call. And I want to say, like, actually, a fun fact: they say you don't learn anything from movies. I only know what the word senile and senescence means because of that movie. Because when she's reading, she goes senescence, like senile. Oh. And then she's on the talk show, like talking about being old. I only know the definition of that word. I'm sure I would have learned it eventually, but I was 8 when the movie came out, and that's how I knew what it was.
You were 8?
Yeah, because you said it's 28 years old. Yeah. No, you said it's 20, and I'm 28.
That's, like, young to be watching, like, a movie.
Bitch, I think about that all the time.
Don't you think?
I think about that all the time that I – and maybe I didn't see it, like, the day it came out, but I definitely saw it, like, the year it came out because we had it on 100%. VHS. I think about that all the time because, like – how much older is Olivia than me? Like 4 years?
3 years.
Okay, I guess that's like not that old. But like we were, but we've always been girls who like were at the center of pop culture and like had our finger on the pulse of what was going on. And that meant watching Degrassi when we were far too young for it.
Yeah.
Degrassi tackled some really tough topics.
But we knew that we were too young for Degrassi. I feel like so much of the stuff that we watched that like was age appropriate. Like, yeah, we watched Lindsay Lohan Freaky Friday, and it's not like there's anything inappropriate about it. It's just like we're 8.
Yeah, like aren't you watching Barney when you're 8?
Like, you're like in like first grade.
Are you first grade when you're 8?
No, I think you're like third, fourth grade. Oh, I don't fucking know.
See, like I cannot conceptualize like kids and ages.
Yeah, just like L. King's son is 4. When oh, by the way, he's 1.5.
He's so cute.
Yeah. He's and 1.5.
You'd think like now in the last few years, like watching Kay grow up and like having frames of reference. Okay, before I like knew any kids personally, not being able to identify how old a particular toddler is, I guess is kind of normal. But I should know now. I'm like a very involved auntie.
But all kids are different.
Yeah. That's
some are true. Tall, some are short.
Is Harry tall?
He's average.
No, he's not. Don't you dare. He is so above average.
That's so sweet. I'll tell him you said that.
You better. I miss him so much.
Come back.
I am planning on it.
Great.
I'm not moving to Frisco. Don't worry. Even though it's a lovely town.
I've heard great things.
Have you been to Frisco?
No.
I'm sure your husband has.
Yeah. Okay. It's you're like outside of Dallas.
Yeah. It was like really quick from the airport, honestly.
Are you ready for our next story?
What number is it?
4.
Yeah.
So it's like not the last one, but also not the middle one.
So when you say 4, can you just dive into that a little bit more? Because I'm just feeling like unclear.
Yeah, no. So it would be like the one after the third.
Oh. Not
quite the 5th, though.
Right. So would you, it's before 5, yeah?
Yes. It's before 5.
Oh, that's a good way to like remember it. That's a good way to remember it.
Okay. Our next story. Imagine Dragons performs at the Netflix picket line in support of the writer's strike.
Okay. I saw a meme. I knew it was fake, but it was the funniest thing. They're like, really smart idea for Netflix to send Imagine Dragons to the writer's strike so they all leave and go back to work.
Yeah, I saw a tweet that was like, that's not fair of you guys to subject the writers to Imagine Dragons. And it's like, wait, when did we all decide that we don't like Imagine Dragons? By the way, I love Imagine Dragons.
We didn't. It was like a funny joke, but I'm not going to subscribe. Like, Imagine Dragons is extremely talented. That guy is very hot. He's allegedly dating Minka Kelly, and they have bangers. Like, I'm joking around. Like, I'm not being serious.
Yeah, no, like, I just don't even know where that joke would come from. Like,
no, people are acting like it's like Nickelback.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I could have this conversation about Nickelback, like, but and so I just don't want. I feel like when Nickelback was kind of dragged through the mud and slandered and like defamed, mm-hmm. I was too young to stand up for them, and I didn't have a platform, I didn't have a voice, and I didn't know how to use it. And now that I'm of age, like, I'm not going to let this happen again to a perfectly lovely band.
Did you see that Louis Capaldi brought out the lead singer of Nickelback on his, he's on like a big stadium tour, and sang like an acoustic version of Rockstar, and like everyone was screaming the song at the top of their lungs.
No, I didn't know that, and I'm not surprised. I fucking love Louis Capaldi so much, like, you know that.
I do.
Literally, he's like every year one of my top artists. I just like, I absolutely love his music, and it doesn't surprise me that he's doing King shit.
No, it's, do I look surprised?
No, he should have been at the coronation though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. But he is currently on like a world tour, so that's like a good reason to not be.
Yeah. Well, the Grammy-winning band took to the Netflix picket line on Tuesday to show its support for the writers striking in LA and New York. Piano player Dan Reynolds and electric guitarist Daniel Wayne Sermon performed Radioactive and Whatever It Takes. The musicians joined a number of celebrities who have hit striking locations across both major cities to show their support, like Pete Davidson, who handed out pizzas in Brooklyn, Ted Lasso writers and stars Jason Sudeikis, Brett Goldstein and Brendan Hunt, Cynthia Nixon, Bowen Yang, and Jay Leno.
I love Brett Goldstein.
I know. Like Jay Leno brought donuts to the strikers.
I also love Jay Leno.
You do?
Yeah, I just like think he's cute. Is that weird?
That's really off brand.
Is it? Because I like hate,
you hate
late
like
night.
Everyone in late night.
Yeah, but he hasn't been in late night in like 10 years.
But he's kind of like the king of late night and sort of like the inventor of all these people that you hate.
To me, he was like part of the last great era of like late night for a while was like peak comedy, Johnny Carson.
Okay, but
like,
what about Letterman?
He just slipped through the cracks as like a talentless hack. I fucking hate Letterman. Like he doesn't know it. He's my nemesis.
What about Johnny Carson?
Hate. I mean, what he did to Joan?
Yeah.
Unforgivable. I don't care how funny or talented people claim he was. I don't support it. He's problematic. Cancel
so
Johnny
Carson.
So
you hate everyone in late night? So you hate everyone in late night?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Except for Jay Leno.
I guess I do. I don't know. There's some. Maybe it's, honestly, it's because he's like chubby and cute. Like I find him endearing and very non-threatening.
100%. It's the chubbiness. But what about James Corden?
I do like him too.
Yeah. Again.
No, I just like thinking about people who have like actually made me laugh, and I feel like I've laughed at Jay Leno and I've laughed at James Corden, and that's pretty much it.
I've never laughed at Jay Leno, but I don't think I've ever been like served Jay Leno on a platter.
I think there's something there. I do. Maybe this is just like, no, I think
that
might.
Is he like on Comedians in Cars and have a good episode or something?
Oh, by the way, that might be it.
Yeah. That would be a good reason.
What the fuck happened to Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld Netflix show that hasn't had a season since 2019?
They ran out of comedians and they ran out of cars.
They definitely ran out of comedians because they were double dipping with people who like weren't that interesting. And I'm glad it like
And they
still
were like starting to show us cars that I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
cool,
I've seen that one.
Cool Subaru.
Like cool Volkswagen.
Right.
Yeah. And they definitely ran out of comedians, honestly.
Yeah, there are people who have been on it like more than once, which is just weird.
Yeah, actually, I feel like he could do another season and have people who have already been on. Because, you know, they're legends, whatever. But also there are a lot of, like, constantly new up-and-coming comedians. Like, I'd rather see Tim Dillon up there shaking that thing.
Right, like Andrew Schultz. There actually is, like, a new generation of, like, podcast, Instagram, Patreon who, like, sell out huge arenas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Joe Rogan ever on it?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Joe Rogan. No, it's like Reddit.
No, the thing
like,
is,
he should be on.
But he, like, Jerry, like, never really ever, like, chose guests who weren't, like, traditional comedy, like, comedy club, SNL writer's room, like, that trajectory, which is, like, the very old school way of becoming a comic, like, open mic, you know, in the same three clubs. He never, like, dipped his toe into, like, having and highlighting comedians who came up through the digital age, except Miranda Sings. Was like the one time he went digital. And I think he said it was because like his daughter loves her and she did the whole thing in like her Miranda character. And like, it wasn't great.
Yeah, I'm looking at the most recent seasons because I do feel like he had some people who were not so traditional. But no, even like...
It was very much like Ellen, Steve Harvey, like that.
He had Bridget Everett.
I fucking love... You should watch her HBO show.
What's it called?
I have heard it's very good. Like Someone Somewhere. I think
okay, and I've heard
like,
of it.
It's like her and her friend, they live in this like turnt small town. And it's like she's like a serious actress in it, but it's still very funny. And mm-hmm. I don't know much about it, but I know you like her and I've actually heard it's quite good.
Okay, cool.
And I hear it's like on the verge of getting canceled. So if like you want to start, I think that'll pretty much put the nail in the coffin. You know?
That's really funny. Thanks. That's really like, I thought you were going to say, so if you guys want to start and like support, you know, we could use our platform. But no, you're right. Like if I turn it on the next day, it's gone.
Yup.
Damn, sad. Well, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by The Perfect Bar?
It is, because I need a snack after this.
The original refrigerated protein bar that you know and love. For those of you who live under a rock or who very rudely skip through our ads, here are the fast five things that you need to know about The Perfect Bar. They're made with freshly ground nut butter, organic honey, and 20 organic superfoods. They have 17 grams of protein and come in 10 delicious flavors, plus a little snack size bar too that are perfect for busy toasters on the go. They're made with only whole food ingredients and they contain no artificial preservatives. They are stored in the fridge, and not to mention they have the most sickening cookie dough texture. Perfect Bar is truly unlike any other protein bars out there. If we haven't convinced you already, they're also non-GMO, they're gluten-free, they're soy-free, they're kosher, they're low GI, and they're delicious. You keep them in the fridge because they're just that fresh. The ingredients need to be refrigerated. They're so delicious. They have so many different flavors, and I really like the small snack size ones for just like throwing in your purse on the go. Perfect Bar knows that it'll be love at first bite, so for a limited time, they're offering you a chance to try their refrigerated protein bars. Excuse me, for free. Here's how it works. Sign up for email or text and upload a picture of your receipt from your local grocery store, and they'll reimburse you for the cost of one bar. It'll go directly into your Venmo or your PayPal account, which is pretty sickening if you ask me. All you have to do is go to perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. That's perfectsnacks.com/toast to get a free Perfect Bar today. Happy snacking. Today's episode is also brought to you by Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story. So a new show on Netflix that's centered on Queen Charlotte's rise to prominence and power, this Bridgerton-verse prequel tells the story of how the young queen's marriage to King George sparked both a great love story and a societal shift, creating the world of the ton inherited by the characters in Bridgerton. So I love this show. It's now streaming on Netflix, and it's basically just a prequel to Bridgerton, but it tells you all about Queen Charlotte, who we know and love from the show. And what's so great is that it's a story about how young Charlotte came to be who she is, but it also has young Agatha Danbury, young Violet Bridgerton, and we're going to learn how these ladies came to be the beloved and revered characters that they are in Bridgerton. You'll learn how they found their place in power, all while navigating their personal passions and politics. Of course, it's written by Shonda Rhimes. She's also the executive producer, so you know it's good. And what's great, one of the things we all love about Bridgerton, it's very steamy, and I can confirm the chemistry between young Queen Charlotte and her young King George is very steamy. It's giving smut. The series has all the elements of Bridgerton that you know and love, like sex, romance, scandal, and of course, the ton. So it's the love story to inspire all love stories, the kind of love that the entire ton aspires to for themselves. It's the myth that has set everything. So it is now streaming on Netflix. It is only available on Netflix, and you can watch it now. You guys are going to love it. I love it. If you love Bridgerton, if you love sexy, steamy romance, if you love something, you know, with beautiful women and beautiful gowns and beautiful makeup and beautiful wigs, this show is for you. The actress who plays young Queen Charlotte is so pretty and she's so talented. I've been loving it and I think you guys are going to love it too. So enjoy Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story. Watch now only on Netflix.
Thanks, Turtiluya. I am a You're happy welcome. Snacker.
Yeah, you are.
Our fifth and final story is a little update in the streaming wars, because Hulu and Disney Plus content will be combined into one app, which makes sense as they're both owned by Disney. Disney will be combining Hulu content with Disney Plus content into one app in the U.S., CEO Bob Iger announced on Wednesday. The company will begin to roll out the new app by the end of the calendar year. For now, this option will only be available to consumers who have subscribed to both services. So they'll continue to offer Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus as standalone options. This is a logistical progression of their DTC offerings that will provide greater opportunities for advertisers, blah, 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 said Bob Iger. I want to know what it's going to be called.
Oh, okay. We could come up with names. I just want to say I'm actually surprised that it took them this long. I've always found it very confusing. Like, knowing that Disney owns a million things, like Hulu, like ESPN, like, why they all just don't have, like, one kind of like Peacock, like how everything on Bravo, NBC, why they don't just have, like, one kind of umbrella streamer.
This is a little bigger than NBC.
Much bigger.
Because it's, like, ABC. It would be, like, Peacock plus Netflix. Like,
yeah.
So I understand everyone had to come together. Also, like, Disney owns a stake of Hulu, but not all of Hulu. Comcast also owns some of Hulu. Oh. It's very confusing. But
I totally thought it was just, like, a Disney company.
No. No.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's some shares that are being
shared. So I wonder why Comcast is okay with, like, Disney taking Hulu, you know?
Yeah. But, like, it is kind of confusing. Like, I feel like it can't just be called Disney Plus with, like, Hulu there, because Hulu is its own brand, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they have, like, original content.
Right. And people are attached to Hulu.
Yeah.
So I feel like they need a new name, but they're not going to have, like, another parent company when they have all of these really strong brands.
Yeah. Well, what is the parent company technically? Disney?
Disney.
Yeah, I guess, like, ESPN going in Disney would kind of make sense. I think, like, a lot of people know that Disney owns ESPN. But Hulu going under the umbrella of Disney, like, wouldn't be easy for people to digest. Because we're, like, freaks who know everything about, like, the streaming landscape, the right. streaming wars. But most people don't.
Yeah, I feel like, what if they have it be an app and it's called, like, Walt. Walt Max.
I don't hate it. I don't love it. Walt Max. Yeah, like, maybe that's not it.
Or what if it's, like, Walt Plus?
Again, it's, like, not really rolling off the tongue for me.
Okay.
If you guys have a good call as to what this app should be called, like, feel free to drop a comment.
I imagine they're struggling because Beyond. You can't get a more known brand name than Disney. So, like, to take the Disney out of Disney, like, what are you going to replace it with that's even going to come close?
Not only that, but these are, like, three really recognizable standalone brands, mm-hmm. ESPN, Hulu. Like, that's what, you know, brands can only dream of. Like, oh, like, Hulu has become almost a verb, you know? So to give that up is kind of weird, and I don't know what a better name would be. Rebranding is for, like, these big-ass companies. Not even that this is a rebrand, but it really is so difficult.
Yeah, unless they just called it, like, Plus. You know, kind of like how HBO Max is Maximillion.
Oh, that's true. Well, they should just call it Iger Plus.
Yeah, but he's so transient there. Like, last week he was out, this week he's in.
Speaking of...
They should call it Miska Muska Plus.
What about Hot Dog Hot Diggity Dog Plus?
Or just, like, Diggity Dog.
Love that.
Speaking what of... What about... No, I literally have it. Okay. Oh, Toodles Plus.
Love. Oh, Toodles. Speaking of CEOs, I attempted to watch... I am two episodes behind of Succession, so I attempted to watch it on the flight. It made the flight feel like 15 hours. I didn't even get through one whole episode. They go to LA to, like, check on their movie studio or whatever. It's so abysmal. Like, it's horrible.
Abysmal.
Unwatchable, actually. I can't believe there are people who sit around and watch the episodes and say, like, this is the best show on television in the last 10 years. People say
that.
And
then they finish the episode and they're like, give them all the Emmys.
No, like, don't.
No, don't.
No, don't. Like, give the Emmy to Molly Shannon for her work in the other two. Give the Emmy to Ken Todd. Can you believe Raquel spent the night at Tom Sandoval?
Yeah.
They're just more worthy.
Thousands of others.
Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you off track. I was just, like, to complain about Succession.
Yeah, you didn't mean to, like, get off track from our brainstorm, because that's what we were doing. And yeah, I just know that Bob's daughter is listening, like, hoping that we actually come up with the name.
Yeah, I did, like, kind of derail the brainstorm, because I genuinely cannot think of one decent idea. Like, this is so hard.
It's really hard.
Unless they just, like, come up with a new word, which is what a lot of times people try and do, but I don't think that really ever works.
What if it was, like, Dulu?
Okay, it's honestly not bad.
Hisney.
No, like, Dulu Plus. Disney, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
Hisney Plus.
Hisney, herney. Miney.
Therney.
Yeah, meanie.
Therney. Therney and friends.
No, it's not cutting it, Jax. I'm sorry. It's not good.
Okay, well, there's no such thing as a bad idea as long as, like, we're all contributing and putting ourselves out there.
Right, and I'm really not contributing. I told you I cannot think of one thing to name this app.
You could always go Brass and Strass Plus.
Ooh. Wait. I like it.
Strong.
I don't know, because.
I like it. So a couple of free bad ideas, take them or leave them.
That's just kind of, like, what we do here, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of what we do.
So I'm headed to the ACM tomorrow. Is there anybody you like want me to see on the carpet and like chat to? Should I can I believe for a chat? Do you want me to bring up to Luke Holmes like his pronoun like saga that he works in the market as a checkout girl? Because I'll do
if,
it.
If the vibe is right.
Yeah. Like, is that something you want me to wait for you? Like, the next year when we...
No, I don't know when I'm going to see Luke again. And by then I'll have, like, you know, new things to obsess over. But I just wonder, is it like every time you sing it is like rats that bothers me? Or do you even know?
No, so I actually think when you're like an artist who covers famous songs... A new thing people do is, like, they change the pronouns to make it accurate for them. Like, if it's a song from a girl's perspective, they just change it to, like, the boy pronouns. And part of me actually really respects that he just left the perfect song. Like, it's a perfect song for a reason. Like, people have loved this song for, like, 30 years. So part of me actually really respects that he didn't, like, change it for his own image, you know?
Yeah, he's just, like, the manliest man.
No, it's crazy that he has, like, Fox in the Hen House and then he calls himself a girl. Like, it's weird. I get it. And I was wrong. I thought that he actually did change the lyric. So you work in the market as a checkout, like talking to the girl. But I was wrong, which I always am, which should be a shock to nobody.
So, yeah, if the vibes are good and you feel like he would be open to talking about it, then, yeah, ask him for sure.
Yeah. I'm hoping me and Margo get a few minutes with him. He's so busy. He's one of, like, the most nominated people to be here tomorrow night.
Did you also see Morgan Wallen posted on his story today? Like, just, like, like something being, like, people really talking out the side of their necks. I kind of felt like he was talking about us, but our conclusion was that we believed him.
And I'm sorry, for him to assume, like, nobody's going to question this, like, sorry. Given his track record, like, we just wanted to do our due diligence.
Yeah. So maybe
and we came to the conclusion that he was telling
him,
the truth.
Why don't you, like, maybe you could ask him who's talking out of the side of their necks.
You know what? He'll be like, you bitch. It's literally you. Shut the fuck up. Stop talking about me on your podcast. That's literally what he's going to say.
Just be like, but we believed you. We need to talk it through.
We're talkers. That's why we have a podcast, Morgan.
Yeah. Who else is going to be there?
Dolly Parton. Well, I actually... I'm hoping to get up close to Dolly because have you seen this conspiracy theory about her hands?
No.
Okay, and I thought it was crazy, but like now when I see pictures, I'm like, oh, she wears prosthetic. She wears like gloves that are like prosthetic hands. Like they're made out of like skin-like technology. So she can like move her fingers, but like it's not her skin or nails.
I believe it.
I thought it was interesting.
I think that's smart.
And Garth Brooks, Dolly and Garth are hosting.
So my question for Dolly would be, did you get a chance to listen to the Redheads episode about Run Rose Run? And what did you think about the girl's assessment?
Yeah, I definitely think if I bring up Run Rose Run, like nobody else on the carpet is bringing up the random book she co-authored with James Patterson.
Right. I feel like that's a good way to break the ice.
And to be different, not like other interviewers.
Yeah, and I think they are making it into like a movie or something. So maybe just like throw around some casting ideas.
Are you going to do an original song?
Already did. She wrote a whole album for the book, but yeah.
Cool. I'm so glad I didn't ask.
And then for Garth Brooks, I would say, have you heard of Garth Brooks?
No. What I would say is, how does it feel to have your song? Like, you have so many accomplishments, but I would argue your biggest one is your song being covered in Country Strong. What did that movie mean to you?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's like a pretty good place to start.
So I think you all have what you need.
Yeah, no, my research here is done.
I'm excited to watch you on the Amazon Fashion Snapchat.
Yes, Jax, thanks so much for recording with me tonight. I know you're like a busy mom and I'm just like an animal who doesn't plan things. And I really appreciate you.
No, you plan this totally fine. It's literally fine. I just happen to be more tired than usual and it's fine.
Oh, so it's fine?
It's totally fine. We're good.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast.
You don't have to be scared of me.
The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast-paced stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts, find us at Toast, leave a five-star review, but if you're listening, weekly talented we are. Hope you guys have a great day, great weekend. There's no show Friday, and we'll see you back in studio on Monday. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.